Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
The basics of small group leadership. We're doing session 5 tonight. This is entitled Running Your Small Group. The notes should have been emailed to you, so you should have those. We've also, we don't have any handouts, but I think they were emailed to you, so you got to have those. And we've been giving you those notes and want to make those readily available because this series, unlike most any series we've ever done, it's actually like a training meeting. And we're doing 8 weeks of meetings on training sessions on how to do small group life around here because we believe in it, because we believe that the Lord's going to be sending us more people. And we want to make sure that we have got a really strong starting point for our church and everybody equipped in how to run small groups, how to be in a small group. I heard Amy did a great job last week kind of putting a little salt and pepper on what small group life looks like and leadership and all that kind of stuff. So again, tonight, session 5, running your small group. First thing I want to do is I want to talk about the fact that every small group is different. Now, there are a lot of things that are the same that we've been talking about in previous weeks and that we'll give a little bit more of attention to in future weeks and even a little bit more tonight. But I want to start off by saying that every small group is a unique organization or a unique organism, a unique entity. It's got different people in there. It's got a different leader. And so every small group is going to feel a little bit different, and we celebrate that. That's great. We think that's a cool thing. And so part of what that looks like is in each small group having some differences. Again, there's going to be a lot of things that we do kind of all the same. All the groups do the same thing in a sense. But then in a lot of ways, the uniqueness of each group is going to really be built around the unique dynamics of the people in that group and also the leader. And so to me, that's actually spiritually healthy. As opposed to trying to make every small group, now I'm trying to get you to see the flavor of your own small group and why it looks a little different than the other small group and how that's a good thing as opposed to, no, we're all supposed to be like, you know, squad in an army. That's not the case. We actually want these small groups to have a bit of a unique flavor and expression because part of what's happening there is it's an overflow of the leadership style and the personality of the leader. Part of what's happening there. Part of what's happening there is it's an overflow of the personalities that are in that small group. And so I gave you guys the 1 Corinthians 11:1. We've looked at this verse a number of times throughout this training series because it plays into so what small group life is it's an individual who's doing their best or a couple who's doing their best to be small group leaders. And they're totally human, and they have weird quirks, and they cook this kind of food, and that group cooks that kind of food, and this person lives in this kind of house, and that person lives in that kind of house, and this person likes dogs, and this person hates dogs. There's just all different kinds of unique things that make that small group leader unique, and they are going to do their absolute best to follow Jesus to the best that they know how, and then to lead you, as you're in that small group, to follow Jesus. And I love the way that Paul wrote this. He says, follow my example. I appreciate some of the other translations say, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. And this idea that Paul was saying, look, I'm not perfect. I'm trying to do the best I can. I really love Jesus. Follow me. Do things the way I do it. I'm trying to follow Jesus. You guys just come along and do it like I'm doing it. Like, bro, you're weird. Well, be weird with me. You know, really funny. Okay, well, great. Be funny with me. You've got some weird quirks. Well, you don't have to take on all those weird quirks, but you will be infected and affected by some of those weird quirks. Follow me as I follow Christ. And it's a part of discipleship that's important for leaders to know and also those that are being led. Part of what happens in the kingdom, no matter where you are, you're going to have leaders in some roles. And those leaders have unique personalities, unique experiences and backgrounds, and they care about different stuff. And part of that is all the Lord working in them so that this group would care about some things that are different in this group and this group and this group. Why? Because the Lord is actually expressing his heart in all of those different groups. He's actually expressing his personality through all of those different leaders in various aspects. And so it's important that each small group has its own DNA, its own flow. And again, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to look pretty much the same. But then there's going to be some uniquenesses and some differences, and we celebrate that. That's not just something we put up with. It's something that we think is part of what the Lord does. Each small group is going to feel a little different. And so you can wind up doing yourself a disservice if you've got a small group and they've got a small group, and you're looking at these two different groups and going, well, these two don't do the same thing. You know, this they do this and we do that. Great. Just like honor Jesus and love God, and it's great. Just go for it. So I just want to make that really clear. Part of the way that that personality can be expressed is by having additional ministry objectives outside of our typical 1, 2, 3 that we talk about every week. Let me expound on that just for a minute. So, like, let's say that one group, you know, really decided, listen, we want to like go out and do prophetic evangelism, you know, once a month or something. And they're like, that's really something we want to do. And another group is like, you know what? We want to help out at a soup kitchen a couple times a year or something. Cool. I mean, my point is with this, is there are going to be unique expressions that we as a church, we're not going to say every small group, you know, every week needs to go do homeless outreach or whatever. Like, we'll have times as a church that we're going to do some outreach, which is going to be kind of fun when we get into the new space. But as far as your small groups, there may be things that you as a small group really have a passion for. Listen, we all want to get together and we want to pray for the ending of this social injustice, and that's something we really carry as a small group. Awesome. Do that. But that doesn't mean all the other small groups need to pray for the social injustice thing. That doesn't mean all the other small groups need to do a prophetic evangelism. Let the small group be ministry. Like, do ministry in your small group. Lead your small group. And, like, follow the Lord. And, yes, we're all together on a weekly basis here. We're all in small groups throughout the week. We're all a part of the prayer room on a once-a-week sacred trust. But that doesn't mean that that's the end of what your small group can look like. Your small group can be an expression of ministry life. And we want to encourage you to kind of find your flavor, find your flow. Now, those who have been doing small groups for a long time, you have a flow. You have a flavor. Maybe you don't even think about it anymore because it's so old hat for you. But I promise you there are unique distinctives to your small group that are different than others, and that's okay. That's good. One of the things that I put on here that I just thought was kind of a cool way that your personality of your small group might be expressed is the thought process of doing ministry trips. You know, what if you as a small group, here's what I'm trying to do. Tonight, I don't want to tell you how to run your small group. I want to give you 50 options for you to be thinking about. Yeah, actually, I like that. Oh, Adam wouldn't want to do that. I like that. I want to kind of paint the whole canvas and say, where on this do you feel like you're going to land as a small group leader, you know, as those that are doing small group life together? I'm not trying to say, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. I'm trying to say, here's what some people have done, and it was awesome. Is this something that you would feel like in your small group, this would be something that you would want to do, or even approach your small group leader and say, hey, what do you think about this? And your small group leader may go, I really don't want to do that at all. We can bring it up in the group, but I'm really not feeling that. You just got to roll with that. That's okay. So, but others have seen groups before take ministry trips, even like a mission trip together, where the small group went on a mission trip together and went and did somewhere. What a cool thing to be able to have that bonding experience as a small group. Other groups over the years, I've seen adopt a cause. You know, they took up, maybe the small group said, you know what, we want to adopt as a small group, we want to adopt a compassion child. Or as a small group, we want to really help out this single mom. And, you know, we really want to help, you know, the single mom and pour, you know, energy and life and help and grace into that single mom. Maybe the single mom isn't even part of the church, part of the small group. There's just somebody, it's a neighbor. You know, I've seen people before that said, hey, look, we've got an elderly couple in our neighborhood. We really want to be, as a small group, because we're meeting right down the street from them, we want to be a blessing to that house. So going doing lawn work every now and then, kind of taking stuff over there from time to time. The point here is small groups can be a ministry platform, not just a come together and be friends and have a pastoral, you know, commitment or connection. Like, it can also be a place where ministry happens. I put this verse in here on 2 Corinthians 8, 3 through 7. So skip the Galatians. We'll go to there you go. Adopting a small group, adopting a particular cause, entirely on their own, they urged and pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness and in love, see also that you excel in this grace of giving. One of the ways that this could look, I know something we did in my small group way long ago. I had a connection in Africa with a guy who was doing evangelistic outreaches, and our small group adopted that missionary. And we said, we're going to find ways to give money to that guy so that that guy can go do work in Africa and kick butt and take names for the kingdom. And so we would get reports. We would take up collections. We would take up money for that guy to go do awesome stuff for Jesus. And the stories were unbelievable of what was happening. Well, we didn't tell everybody we knew and all the other small groups they needed to do that. It was something that we wanted to do. You guys kind of seeing what I'm saying? There can be expressions of what you're doing. I just love this one, this example in 2 Corinthians, because this is Paul talking beyond their tithe that was supporting the church and even some initiatives in Jerusalem and such. This is now the church at Corinth coming to Paul and saying, listen, we want to figure out a way to serve this group of persecuted believers. We want to find a way to be able to serve them. We want to help them. We want to bless them. They've pulled on our heartstrings. We've heard about what's going on. We've heard about this need, and we want to get involved in it. I love it. That's great. So as that kind of stuff comes up, do it if you want to. It doesn't need to be a whole church thing. It can be just what's happening for that individual small group. All right. Now, that's just a little bit about personality, and we'll get back to some more components, the way that that's expressed in a minute. But what I want to talk about for a couple of more minutes here on a related subject is the importance of knowing your group. When I say knowing your group, yes, I mean as a small group leader, you knowing the small group members, those that are in your group. But what I really mean is, what is the DNA of that group from the Lord? What is the Lord doing? What are the trends that are occurring in that group? One of the things you as the small group leader want to do your best to try to discern, and it's a little tricky sometimes. One of the things you want to do the best to try to discern is knowing what your group needs. And those needs shift from season to season. Those group needs shift from, you know, even month to month sometimes. And as a small group leader, you're the pastor of that small group. I want for you to know, in general, what is the heartbeat of your group? What do they need right now? And it's the overall need of the group. So I'm not talking about the individual and this individual. I'm saying, what are some of the trends? I'll give you a couple of instances. If you happen to notice, because you're in the lives of those in your small group, you're involved in their life, you happen to notice that there are a number of people in your small group that are struggling with pornography, you want to minister to that need, not just to those individuals. There's a trend, if that's something that's real, you want to, as a small group leader, you want to care enough about that even though that's a very sensitive subject, you want to find a way to minister to it. You want to be able to help that. Maybe it's prayer times over it. Maybe it's teaching on it, even in your small group. Maybe it's ideas. You want to figure out a way to be able to minister to that. If you've got a small group and there's a significant, like, you know, issue of, you know, you got 2 or 3 or 5 or 20 or however many people you got in a small group that are struggling with greed or with unforgiveness or with whatever, like, do your best as a small group leader to discern that and to try to minister to that, to try to know what do they need. Because if the small group is struggling with greed and you're talking about the joy of the Lord, and your whole MO is, I just need to get them into the joy of the Lord, and what they really need is a kind correction that they're greedy, and they're actually held up from going to the next place in God, because you've got 3 or 4 people in your small group that are struggling with greed and covetousness, and you're ministering to them on, have joy. You're kind of not really touching what they need, you know? And so it's important to be able to discern what are some of the trends that are happening in your small group so that you can know how to help it and minister to it and have conversations about it. Next, the unique dynamics of your group. It's important to work within those dynamics. What do I mean by that? There are going to be times where you're going to need to make adjustments according to your small group. So is your small group mostly single young adults? Well, your small group's going to look one way. Is your small group have got, you know, not all, but, you know, mostly have got families and kids? Okay, well, that's going to look one way. You know, is your small group dynamic, most of the people in your small group are traveling a long distance to come to your small group? That's going to cause some adjustments. You don't want to just do small group outside of any thought at all of the dynamics of the people that are in your group. You want to do a measure of catering to the needs of the small group. And so all of those require different thoughts and responses and that kind of thing. But you want to know the unique dynamics of your group because your group looks different than that group. So that group needs to do some certain things that you maybe don't need to do. But you need to be doing some other things that would maybe better minister to those that are in your small group. Next, knowing the right balance for your group. So I am not awesome at it, but I sure am trying. I believe in balance. I believe that we're supposed to have some hard conversations. We're supposed to have fun. I believe there's supposed to be times where we're just hanging out, and there's times supposed to be of instruction. I believe that there's supposed to be a balance in our small groups, and you've got to find that balance in your small group. Figure out the right balance of we're together, and you know, there's times of instruction, there's times of encouragement, there's times of all these different aspects. You kind of need to figure out that balance. And I'll just tell you this. If you've got a small group and all of them are like super serious about Jesus and they don't like fun, hate fun, they think fun is dumb, you still need to teach them fun. I mean, that's part of that. They are imbalanced and they need to be taught how to have fun, okay? But if you try to do a 50-50 split, you will have a coup in your hands, okay? So you better not try to counterbalance that anti-fun spirit with 50% fun and 50%, you know, raw word or whatever. But you do need to introduce it a little bit, okay? Other side of things, you got those that are like, man, I don't like the Bible. I barely like Jesus. I just want to have fun, man. Let's just party. You're going to have to deal with that. You're going to help them figure out the balance of life. And so each small group is going to go through different seasons. It's going to look different here and there. And so part of the reason I'm saying all this is there are things that we do in my small group now that would have been a terrible idea 5 years ago. But they're the right thing now because small groups evolve. Things shift. Dynamics change. There are going to be things that your two small groups start at the same time. They got the same number of people in them, but the people dynamics are very different. And one's doing these things in their small group, and one's doing these things, and both of them are probably right because they're trying to pay attention to the dynamics of the small group. All right, now I want to give you some meeting components. All right, now these are some things that I think every small group ought to have some balance of these components, okay? So if you were going to take any notes, now would be the good time. I think every small group should have all of these components at some percentage, okay? So I'm not saying it's, you know, 10% this, 10% that. Again, all the dynamics are going to shift. But I think every healthy small group should have all of these components at some level, all right? The first, time of fellowship. Look at what the word says here. This is one of our key passages for the church, Acts 2, 42 and following. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. They were together. They were fellowshipping. There were times where they're just talking about Jesus. They're talking about life together. This thing about fellowship, it's important. I want to say this because I just believe it. I think there is something essential about eating together. Now, if you don't eat together every week, oh, okay, but I think eating together is important. There's a lot of ways eating together can look. I mean, you notice in that passage, it brought up the subject of food a number of times. Well, they were eating together because it's one of the things that just, you got to eat, you know? And so to be together as a small group, to fellowship, I think something from heaven about why we don't like to eat alone. Most of us. We'd rather eat with people. We either, you know, share a meal. We enjoy sharing a meal. Whenever we're talking about hanging out with a friend, we rarely say, let us go sit on a park bench and stare at each other and talk. Normally it's, let's meet for coffee. Let's meet at a lunch, or a restaurant. There's something about sharing a meal together that is something so beautiful. And so I just say this, sharing a meal together, you as the small group leader, you might have just saw dollar signs coming out of your wallet. And you're like, oh my gosh, I got to feed them every week. No, you could if you wanted to. But it could be snacks. It could be them bringing food. It could be structured. You bring food the first week. You bring food the second week. You bring food the third. It could be everybody pick up your own food and come and eat all together. And let's just do it. It could be whatever. It doesn't. Eating together doesn't mean you as the small group leader had to cook the meal every week or any week for that matter. But eating together can happen a lot of different ways. I want to encourage you, include food in your small group. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's part of the way that God has knit people together throughout all of human history. There's been something about food that that bonds us and brings us together in sharing a meal. Next, the idea of components where you're meeting together, where people are getting to share. And so I'm going to give you a couple of different things of what I mean when I say share. But here's the idea. It's not a lecture. You don't want people to come to your small group and it be this, where you don't have a microphone, but it's the exact same thing. You're just talking at them. They already got talked at by me on Sunday night if they came. They don't need to be talked at. It's time for interaction. It's time for you know, give and take. But the only way that's going to happen is if more than you make room for it, if you're asking questions. So have people share life updates. What's going on with life? You know, encourage them to share cool testimonies. What a tragedy it would be for people in your small group to be experiencing awesome things that don't have anything to do with Jesus, awesome things that have everything to do with Jesus, and them not tell their small group because there wasn't a place for it. There wasn't room for it. You guys were too business or didn't, you know, have any time for it. For there to be cool stuff, you know, and it didn't get to be shared in a small group setting because there was too much else going on or whatever. You want to find ways for people to be able to share cool testimonies, share life updates, and also share lessons that the Lord's teaching them. One of the coolest things about a small group context, you're talking about a cluster of people that love the Lord. And God is interacting with all of those members of that small group individually. And he's teaching them stuff. He's giving them life lessons. He's encouraging them. Let people share those things. That's part of the way that we strengthen one another in a small group context. That won't ever happen if small group equals walk into the living room, get talked at for an hour. Okay, everybody, bye. It won't happen. It's so important. It's so important. It's the reason I'm totally fine with not doing any of that on Sundays. Because I'm hoping that's happening in your living rooms throughout the week, where you're getting in a smaller context, sharing life. The way that Paul said it, again, we've looked at this before, but it's a great verse. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives. This is small group life. It's not only the discipleship, here are the lessons you need to know in order to walk with Jesus. It's sharing life with each other. Knowing each other's hurts, knowing each other's successes. That's small group. That's what it is. But it won't happen if you as the small group leader don't leave room for it, facilitate it, express or model transparency. I mean, if they don't see that in you as the small group leader, they're not going to feel comfortable. And so there's things that you got to do as a small group leader to kind of help create that environment that like make it work. Okay, so that's important. I think that ought to be happening in every single small group at some level. Okay, if it's not every week, maybe it's once a month and it's share week or whatever. I don't care. Do it however you want. But I think that this is a very important component to small group life. It's very important. Next, the spiritual component. So you go, okay, well, what does that look like? When it comes to small group life, it's great to have spiritual components that are a part of your weekly meeting. But I want to remind you that this is not what we're building the small group on. I want to stress that again. The spiritual components, worshiping together, praying together, you know, sharing a spiritual principle or a nugget, you know, all that kind of stuff, that's not what we're building the small group on. I think those are helpful things to be involved in a small group, but that's not what we're building the small group on. We're building the small group on relationships. We're building the small group on trust. We're building the small group on pastoral care. We're building a small group on those components. So when we talk about having a time of prayer in the small group, that's awesome. But to me, a time of prayer in the small group is not does not a small group make. A time of worship, let's turn the CD on and worship, or so-and-so's got their guitar. That's great, that's cool, but that's not small group. That's something that's put into small group context. That's not our main objective. Now, I'm trying to say this, I'm trying to go on both sides of the fence here, because I want to give you total, like, picture of, hey, can we worship in our small group? Sure. Can we make our small group all worship and we never do anything else? No. Don't do that. That's not what we're doing. We're not building it off of a Bible study. We're not building it off a time of worship. Those are components that could be great. You as a small group leader discern how much of that to do. I think it's a great idea as a small group leader to be asking the Lord frequently, God, is there any nugget of truth? Is there any Bible verse that I could share with my small group? As opposed to, God, give me a 20-week series of what we can study in small group every week. But that's not really what we're trying to build. But to go, hey, Lord, I want to know what's a word from heaven? What's a nugget? What's a Bible verse? What's an experience that I could share as a leader in their life and bring that every week? Cool. That's awesome. That's a great little way. So the spiritual components. Staying on a theme for a period of time and maybe sharing one little Bible verse or something, that could be a cool thing. It's like, let's say you feel like this small group, you know, I was telling you earlier about the idea about like the pornography thing, all right? Let's say a trend in a small group. You as a small group leader come up with 3, 4, 5, 8 Bible verses that you relate to that are going to be helpful to give people equipment to stay out of that. And equipment to fight off the enemy. Equipment. Great. Pick those 8 Bible verses and don't share all 8 of them. Share 1 week 1. What do you guys think about it? Oh, man, that's great. I really use it. And then next week, share a different one. And the whole thing maybe only takes 15 minutes or 10. And then the next week, share the 3rd verse. Now you're equipping them. That's great. That's awesome. Ministry components. Have them praying for one another. You know, that's a great thing to do in a small group. Have them break into guys and gals. So if you've got a co-ed small group, obviously if you don't, then you are guys and gals every week. But have them break into guys and gals from time to time. And have the guys over there and the girls over there and just talk and share and pray for each other. Cool. That's awesome. Have a group discussion on issues that are pressing to the group. Discuss God's perspective on current events. Sometimes there are going to be events. Gosh, we've certainly seen them in the last couple of years, haven't we? That are events that are like, every believer on the planet right now needs to be paying attention to this and at least know what God says and what the word says and where we're standing on it. Like, have those discussions in your small group. That can be a part of the way that you're ministering to one another. It can be a part of the way that you're just kind of getting people able to process out loud. I'm really frustrated about this thing I saw in the news. You know, why is this happening? Or what is this about? Or how does God feel about this? Great way for your small group to get derailed for, you know, a week or two and really focus on that thing. Small groups are organic. They're organic. So it's important that they are responsive to the people in the group, to the life that we're living, to the hour of history that we're in. Small groups are organic. This is not military training. Every small group will do this, and this. 15 minutes of this, 15 minutes of this, 30 minutes of this. That's not what we're doing. Small group life is organic. And so there are going to be some things that you kind of start to find your flow and you're like, actually, I really like it if most weeks we kind of do this for a while and then we do this for a while and this for a while. That's great. Leave the room for the Holy Spirit to come in and go, this week needs to be completely different. Man, tonight you need to nix that other thing and do this. I'm not saying having a plan. I'm just saying we're not trying to build an army that's doing small groups in a methodical way. We're trying to raise up pastors who will be involved in the lives of those in their small groups so that they can actually help and minister to and be a safe place and encouragement and sometimes a kick in the butt for those that are in their small group and to help facilitate those relationships so that we are going someplace together. That's what we're talking about when we say small groups. There is no end to the sources you and everybody you know can go hear Bible teachings. There's no end. You could hear 1 million Bible teachings if you wanted to. We got people in this room that it's been their job to listen to Bible teachings and then categorize them and stuff. Okay? There is no end of preaching, but you don't have many fathers. Small groups are about having pastoral leadership in our lives, that we've got relationships that are helping us and helping that small group to grow and to move forward together and to go to the places that the Lord's leading. That's why we do what we do. It's healthy. It's important. It's not enough to hear Bible teaching. So I really don't want all of our small groups to be a Bible study. I don't think that's how that time should be best spent. There are so many opportunities to hear Bible teachings. I want that time to be more organic and have a little bit more life and a little bit more relational connection, asking questions. I would way rather you, as a somebody that's like, man, I want to do a Bible study. I would way rather you come up with 10 questions you could ask your small group this week instead of spending that same amount of time preparing a Bible study for them. I would way rather you come up with 10 questions that'll dig up conversation, that'll dig up where they're at, that'll dig up, you know, how things are going, that'll dig up their thought processes on certain things. I would way rather that. Get them talking. Get them relating to one another. And not only that, what you'll get in those moments is you'll get to hear, oh, they got bad theology on that. I need to help with that. You just identified a problem. Oh, wow, they actually live in a really broken situation. I would have never known that if I didn't ask that question. I can minister to that. As a pastor, you're trying to figure out what do they need as a group, as individuals. And the best way to do that, honestly, is live life together, ask questions, create a context where people feel safe and they can talk. That's what small group is, because you're their pastor, not their Bible teacher. Yeah, I'll teach them a little Bible, but I don't want you to go heavy on that. What we want to do is we want to create a context where people are getting pastored, where they're getting loved, where they're getting cared for. Okay. So let me change gears now. I gave you the stuff that I was like, I think every small group ought to have some of this at some level, somewhere in there, whether it's every other week or once a month or 15 minutes of this and 15 minutes of that, and we listen to the Holy Spirit, whatever. All of those components ought to be in all the small groups, because I think that's what creates a healthy small group context. We've been doing this a long time. Now let me tell you a bunch of other stuff that's on the menu that you can choose or choose not to include in small group life kind of periodically. This isn't like the weekly stuff. This is just part of what your small group could do. And some of you are going to look at me and go, we can do that? You could totally do that. All right, first one. Go out of town together. Plan a fun trip. Why not? Do an overnight stay somewhere. You know, like you got a bunch of kids in your small group. Maybe your small group plans an overnight stay in Glen Rose to take all the kids to the petting zoo thing the next day or whatever. Cool. That's great. You guys are, you know, a bunch of, you know, singles or whatever. Cool. We'll plan some cool overnight stay or something, you know, in some city nearby. Go to Austin for a night and just hang out and go, you know, walk down 6th Street and eat pizza. I mean, just like plan a fun time where your small group just gets to go out and play. That's fun. Man. Plan a night. Again, you can't do this stuff every week or you don't have a small group. But plan a night that's like, instead of normal small group, tonight's dessert night. Bring a dessert. We're going to test everybody's desserts. And the person that, you know, wins will throw a pie in their face. Oh, no. The person that loses will throw a pie in their face. I don't know. Just a dessert night. We're just hanging out and just talking. There's literally no agenda. The agenda is eat dessert and hang out. That's cool. Or a movie night. Our small group, just it was even just a few weeks ago. Certain things happened or whatever, and we're like, let's put on a movie on the wall for the kids and one that I can stand. And like, we'll just hang out and watch a movie. And that was small group that night. Just watch a movie. We totally did. Game night. That's happened before. Again, you can't do this stuff every week, or it's probably not even a good idea to have one of these every month, but sprinkle it in there. You're the small group leader. You're in charge. You call the shots. This week we're doing game night, by golly. You bring your games and we're going to have fun. You smile right now. Enjoy this like I'm going to. And just like do it. That's great. That's so cool. A night out. Just a night where you guys just go out instead of doing normal small group. Hey, let's just go bowling tonight. Your small group's now going out and you're bowling. Cool. That's fun. That's great. Plan your own holiday events. 4th of July, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever. I love what Andy and Vina have done over the years. They have typically had some kind of, you know, Thanksgiving or around Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving. Just kind of event in their home. That's been so cool. That's awesome. Why did they do that? They wanted to be able to minister to those in their small group and their close relationships. And That's just a cool thing. Well, nobody told him to do that. It's not like Forerunner Fellowship said, you must plan a turkey meal. Forget all that. They did it because they wanted to. That was cool. Our small group, we do a Christmas party every year. We plan a Christmas party, and it's normally a little outrageous because I think I probably have a little too much input. But it's been fun, at least for me, and they put up with me. You know, part of that whole expression of your small group leader, there are some times where it grates on you, I'm sure. So, but anyway, we plan a holiday party. We just have fun, and it's like, that's what we do. But nobody told us we had to. It's not like we got to as a small group. We just decided, hey, let's do something fun this night for small group instead. Invite somebody else to share. I haven't done this a lot over the years, but I've seen it done. I've done it a couple of times where there's like maybe a missionary friend of yours in town. And you're like, hey, would you be willing to come to our small group tonight and just talk about the mission field for a while and just kind of stir us up, tell us stories? How cool is that? Go for it. That's great. You know, there are some folks that have some relationships with some people that they trust in the prophetic that come through from time to time. Cool, invite that person over and have them lay hands and pray for people in your small group. Cool. That's cool. You got a friend that's like a worship leader? We've done this a couple times where we had a worship leader friend in town and we're like, hey, would you just come and like, let's just have a night of worship that night for our small group. Would you do that? Sure. Cool. Are you starting to see the sky is the limit here? I mean, your small group is not rigid. Small group is organic. And the point is develop healthy disciples that love Jesus, that love each other, that there's an environment where there is absolutely spiritual growth and maturity happening. But that doesn't mean everything you do is super spiritual. Take up an offering for a specific need. I shared a little bit on that earlier. Plan a baptism. Somebody gives their life to Jesus in your small group, and you don't want to wait for Forerunner Fellowship's annual baptism service, because we do a baptism service, and you don't want to wait for that? Don't wait. Do a baptism service in your bathtub. I don't care. You can get enough water in there. You know, or whatever. Get a little kiddie pool in the backyard. Do a baptism service in your backyard. That's awesome. How cool would that be? Somebody gets saved in your small group, and you invite their family and friends over, whatever, and your small group is a little service in the backyard that day, you know, in the pool. I can remember a number of times that my small group, that I baptized people in a lake in the winter. And we did small group out at the lake, and we're like, come on, let's go. And we got in that water. It was chilly, chilly, chilly. I just advise you on that. If you're going to do that, don't do multiple people. Because you, as the small group leader, will find yourself in that water 20 times longer than those people. Because they're dilly-dallying, they're telling their story, and then they get out of the water real slow, and the next one waits until they're totally out of the water. Then they get in real slow. Oh, it's cold! Like, I know it's cold. I've been in here for 5 minutes. You don't have to tell me. So I would just recommend, if you ever do a baptism at a lake, outside, in the winter, one person, not two or three. Just word to the wise. I know what I'm talking about. Same thing on the Lord's Supper. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. We do a big deal. We do a potluck meal, and we share it together, and we have a real intimate time once a year together as a church. That doesn't need to be the only time you guys do the Lord's Supper. In your small groups, do the Lord's Supper. You want to do it once a month? Do it once a month. You can do it once a quarter? Once a quarter? I don't care. Whatever. Random? I just feel like it. Let's do it this Tuesday. Great. Do it. Awesome. Do an outreach together. We're about to have this building. We're going to try to make it a base of operation that we're going to be able to start ministering to people in that area. And you're like, you know what? For small group this week, let's just go up to the building. Let's do an outreach around that area or whatever. Do it. That's awesome. That's great. Last thing I want to share, and then we'll be done. I've given you a lot of wiggle room. And that wasn't an exhaustive list. It was just to try to get you thinking about what small group could look like. Listen, if you as a small group leader are bored with your small group, that is your fault. Because you've got lots of opportunities, okay? There's a lot that you can do. There's a lot that that way can look. There's a personality that, you know, can really be expressed through that small group and it looking different than the other one. That's cool. But there are a few things that we want to make sure that we're doing that are meticulous. And I want to give you those, and there's not many. It's like four or five that are all really say the exact same thing. But it's four or five components of one idea. Okay? This is important. As a rule, never cancel your small group. Let it be like the most dire circumstances that cause your small group to get canceled. Don't cancel your small group just because. There'll be times where Amy and I have got something and we're like, man, we can't make small group happen this week. And we'll ask another member of our small group, hey, will you guys host small group this week? Just because we can't come doesn't mean you guys can't meet together. It's important that we're getting together weekly and connecting. There's a lot that happens in 7 days. There's a whole lot more that happens in 14. And if somebody was out 1 week and then you canceled 1 week, it might even be 21 days or a whole month that somebody's not been in small group. That's not good. We want to be able to relate to one another. Don't cancel small group. Small group leaders, don't cancel small group. Let it be the most dire of circumstances. Let that be the kind of thing that's like, well, we've canceled it twice this year because of that. But don't let that be often. Like, that be a really rare thing, because what you don't realize, or maybe you do and you're not taking into full consideration, there are people that they needed that moment that week. They needed to be together with the other believers that week. It was important that week. And while you were busy with whatever reason that you were going to cancel the small group, you weren't necessarily taking into account that person really needed that time of fellowship. And that's actually negatively impacting them. They were looking forward to it. They needed to be there. This was a hard week at work. They really needed to be with those other believers. I can remember, there have been different seasons for me in small group leadership and stuff, but I can remember a season where I was a part of small groups at High Point Church back in the day. And I can remember being the one who was on the needy side. And I'm not a needy person, but I can remember being the one who was on the other end of this. Well, there were weeks where it was like, man, I just need to be with some believers right now. I had a tough week at work. I work in a secular environment. It's really tough, this, that, and the other. And I can remember the nights that small group was canceled. It was an ache in my soul. I was like, oh my gosh, I really needed to see those people tonight. Like, I'll make it. I'll figure it out. I'm not going to die, but man. And then I'd find out, well, we canceled it because one person was sick. It's like, well, couldn't we have met over at so-and-so's house? We're only like 2 miles away. Like, call me. We can host it at my house. Like, don't cancel small group unless you absolutely have to. It's important. It matters. The relational lines, those relational lines from you to them, those relational lines from them to each other. You want to have small group every single week with the rarest of exceptions. Next, the meeting times are going to vary, but don't let them vary within your small group. Here's what I mean. Small group one meets on Tuesday nights. Small group two meets on Saturday afternoons. Small group three meets right before church on Sunday. That's fine. Great. But small group one that meets on Tuesday nights, don't rotate nights. Don't do Tuesday night 1 week and then Wednesday night the next week and Thursday. Your Tuesday nights. Stay on Tuesday nights. Part of this is you're helping people build some consistency in their life and know, okay, I need to take Tuesday nights off of work because that's small group night. So it's very unhelpful if you're moving the night. Okay, don't move the night and don't move the time. In the most rare of circumstances where you need to change the time, let it be like really well thought through. You know, and it'll happen from time to time, but I just don't mean like, yeah, some Tuesdays we meet at 7 and some Tuesdays we meet at 9:30 and some Tuesdays we meet for an hour and some Tuesdays we meet for 3 hours. Like, help the people in your small group build some consistency. Same place, same time, same night, same duration. Give them a little bit of consistency. Our small group meets on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. We're done at 9, you can leave. You know, like, give them a little bit, like, of consistency. And if the Holy Spirit's blowing up and something's really cool and people are boo-hooing, like, oh, I just want to stay here and cry. Great. Let small group that night last as long as you want. But as a rule, have a start time and a stop time. It's part of the way that you can make sure your small groups are actually doing what you want. It's not healthy if people don't know what time the small group meeting starts. It's not healthy if people don't know and can't count on what time the small group meeting ends. They've got other things in their life. I know, because we busied them up over at the prayer room. Boy, did we busy them up. And they got lives and families and everything else. It's important that you're being honoring to those in your small group. Identify a set time, a set place, a set duration. And again, if something every now and then, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying on a regular basis, every week, set those things in place. And that's it. We did it. Don't you feel more equipped? You do. You do, I can tell.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.